Hi, folks, and welcome to the 51st podcast edition of Weber's Whipping Post, coming to you from rainy Arizona. It's raining, and I couldn't go golfing today. But I'm Weber, and delighted you tuned in to listen. Today's podcast is called Presidential Popularity Polls. Hope Nikki Haley got the license plate number of that truck that hit her on last Super Tuesday. 15 states went to the polls, and every one of them, except Vermont, overwhelmingly voted for Trump. Was there any doubt? The state she won, Vermont, she only beat Trump by 4 percentage points. It might be said of Vermont voters, though, that they're a little challenged. Would you believe Chris Christie got 1,018 votes, and he had long ago dropped out of the race? Maybe TV coverage doesn't get up there to that part of the country. But really, 1,000 Vermonters voted for a man who had no other agenda than to be the anti-Trump candidate. Shortly after the results, Ms. Haley finally dropped out of the race. I still give her some credit. She ran a good race against the boys. The problem with her is her timing. Americans know they don't need another politician this time around. They need a swamp drainer, and she would never go near the swamp plug. Even though she says she is not interested in a vice presidential job, I think I would like to see Trump pick her anyway. Her stint at NATO makes her ideal for being the face of America in foreign affairs. She might even make a great Secretary of State. Don't run away, Nikki, just because you couldn't beat Trump. He's got too much momentum going on. On the other side of the coin for Super Tuesday is the disgusting results that Biden also did well, winning in all the states. Really, there are that many people that want more of Biden? Wanting more of the worst president in our history is disturbing for our country, to say the least. The Democrats could still pull off a switcheroo at their convention in Chicago and not nominate Biden, which is what I kind of think is going to happen. Keep in mind, California Governor Gavin Newsom is running a shadow campaign, and some bigwig hotshot is backing him. There have also been the usual reports that Michelle, or is it Mike, Obama might run. The fact that she's denying it this early is troublesome, as is the rare politician who tells the truth. This is particularly troublesome to me as it gives Barack Obama another crack at tearing apart our country. Obama has stated that he wanted a third term, and some said he got it through Biden, which would make sense, and putting his life partner in there might just become his fourth crack at tearing apart our country. We have to admit, Obama and his minions are doing a good job of taking this country down a few notches. Of course, there are the political commentators who believe she is the great savior that can beat the mighty Trump. Hey, did you hear about the Indiana high school kid who told the school to pound sand when they requested he remove the U.S. flag from his truck? Good for him. East Central High School senior student Cameron Blazik went so far as to say he would never back down. As, in his words, the flag itself represents this country, this beautiful country that we live in. It also represents the people who fought their lives for it. And I think that's a really hard thing to talk about, but I think it's a big thing. It was his vice principal that requested he remove the flag, even though it complies by U.S. flag code. His story went viral and gained over 6 million viewers, a feat that I am so jealous about. I'd settle for just a paltry million listeners, but I digress. Once the story was out, the school changed its mind. Principal Tom Black sent a message to the parents, apologizing. I am pleased to inform you that we are allowing the display of the U.S. flag by students in the parking lot. He defended the school, though, by saying that they had a rule for no flags in the parking lot out of concerns of visibility and safety. That is probably a reasonable concern, but none of this would have been an issue had they just not brought it up in the first place. Now the school has lots of flags hanging from students' vehicles. Makes you wonder if that vice principal is also a hall monitor. Speaking of flags, Huntington Beach, California recently approved a measure that restricts all non-government flags from being flown on city property. also seems a reasonable policy, as there is nothing I hate to see worse than a Chicago Bears flag hanging anywhere. It's offensive to me. In all seriousness, the city's aim was to prohibit most everything except the city, state, military, or U.S. flag. This included outlawing breast cancer flags, Confederate flags, and pride flags. Guess which group was pissed off about the law? No surprise, the LGBTQ community claimed that Huntington Beach is run by a hateful majority whose only interest is advancing an agenda of intolerance for minority communities, said the director of the LGBTQ Center for Orange County. What a crock. One board member countered, though. In my mind, it's demeaning that they need some kind of special recognition to feel like they're part of our community. People are equal, and those kinds of things are divisive. I agree with that statement wholeheartedly. Why do they have to be a special flag denoting who they are? Most of us don't care who or what you love, just don't shove it in our face as if you're some sort of special. As I predicted, the aforementioned Chicago Bears are not moving out of the city of Chicago to Arlington Heights. My buddy said they were, and I kept saying, oh no, they weren't. There was no way those crooked bastards in Chicago City Hall were going to let the Bears leave Chicago, taking all that revenue with it. They now intend to build a publicly owned dome stadium somewhere next to Lake Michigan. Did you hear my words? Publicly owned. That means Illinois, Chicago, and visiting tourists to the city are going to pay through the nose for the damn thing, but only the Bears will be able to use it. Mark my words, that's where all this is headed. If they wanted to save the taxpayers' money, they might let the White Sox move to Nashville and the Bears could use U.S. Cellular or Guaranteed Rate Field or whatever the hell they're calling it now. Bears president Kevin Warren made a statement that might contradict what I just told you about using taxpayer funds, but I still doubt it. Anyway, he said the Chicago Bears are proud to contribute over $2 billion to build a stadium and improve open spaces for all families, fans, and the general public to enjoy in the city of Chicago. Wonder what media outlet wrote that for him. He further said the future stadium of the Chicago Bears will bring a transformative opportunity to our region, boosting the economy, creating jobs, facilitating mega events, and generating millions in tax revenue. Bull. Let's unpack that last statement a little. If the city already has an NFL franchise, the Bears, playing in the city of Chicago, but are moving the franchise to a different place in Chicago, probably not far from their present digs in Soldier Field, please tell me how that boosts the economy, creates any more jobs or tax revenue other than building the damn building. Everybody that's working at Soldier Field will just go over to the new stadium. And for the record, way down in Warren's announcement came the sentence, while the team is investing $2 billion in private funds to finance the construction of the stadium, the people of Chicago will likely be tasked with supporting a portion of the total development cost, which will include public spaces. So there you have it. Get ready, Illinoisans. You're going to get the boondoggle stuck right in your ear.
Weber's Whipping Post will be right back. A.N. Weber Incorporated is a proud sponsor of Weber's Whipping Post. Now in their 76th year, Weber has offices in Kankakee, Illinois, Nashville, Tennessee, El Paso, Texas, and Chandler, Arizona. Whether you're looking for company equipment to haul your dry van or flatbed freight or logistics services for all types of freight or even a career in driving, maintenance, or sales, call Mark Tedford at 815-939-2235. You can also apply online at anweber.com. Weber has immediate openings for drivers in all areas and mechanical technicians in Kankakee, Illinois, and El Paso, Texas. Weber is also looking for logistics agents across the country. Again, call Mark Tedford at 815 939-2235 or apply online at anweber.com. And now, back to Weber's Whipping Post.
In her infinite wisdom, Democrat Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs vetoed a bill that would authorize police to arrest illegal immigrants. She claimed it was anti-immigrant and likely unconstitutional. My opinion is, so what? The bill she vetoed, despite the uptick in crime committed by illegals against Arizona citizens, would have made it a misdemeanor crime to cross the border other than a lawful port of entry, and a felony if one is being previously deported. It's similar to the Texas Senate bill that was enacted recently in a state where the governor has some common sense. This ding-dong in Arizona actually said anti-immigrant legislation to score cheap political points has no place in our state. She said a whole bunch more, but there is no sense giving her any more time to repeat it. So the human smuggling, child sex trafficking, rapes, murders, drug trafficking, and fentanyl overdoses will continue in Arizona, courtesy of Katie Hobbs. This is the same broad who was in charge of the ballot counting last term, and surprise, she won the governorship against Carrie Lake. I live part-time in Arizona, folks, and there is no way Hobbs won that last election fair and square. Did you hear about the two Irish friends who died of fentanyl poisoning in Florida? While that sadly is all too common, since our bonehead president opened the gates to let illegal Democrat voters in, there was one problem with this particular story. Kane Mitchell and Luke Comiskey, Dublin citizens, died in April 2022. They were 30 and 31 years old. The two lived together near St. Petersburg, but died when they consumed fentanyl-laced coke one of them had bought. Their employer checked on them after they didn't show up for work and found the bodies. A Florida funeral home shipped the bodies home to Ireland, one cremated and one not cremated, per family wishes. 3 months later, the families noticed discrepancy in an autopsy report that led authorities to discover an error in the labeling of the remains. Mitchell's remains had been buried in the Comiskey family plot in Dublin, and Comiskey had been cremated. I'll bet that went over like the proverbial turd in the punch bowl. Evidently, they met a drug dealer by the name of James Peoples the day before they died. Peoples was arrested and charged with first-degree murder. Peoples denied knowing there was fentanyl in the drug. The plot thickens on the Fulton County, Georgia District Attorney Fannie Willis and her personal vendetta against Trump. In her efforts to remove Trump, she may have committed perjury, according to the defense team. This stems from the ridiculous charge of attempting to interfere, Trump that is, in the 2020 election. It would appear both Willis and her paramour, Nathan Wade, have lied to the court about when their tryst began. One source said the court is being played. Both of the lovers testified their relationship began in early 2022, but there are others that can prove it started in 2019. This is important because Willis hired Wade in November of 2021, and they then went on state-paid junkets. It is thought now that regardless of how the judge ruled in the case, it probably can't be tried in 2024. If Willis was to be disqualified, it would take months to find a new prosecutor. If she isn't thrown out on her ear, the appeals process will take months. However, this turns out Willis's name has been dragged through the mud as people are disgusted with some of the information that has come out in this court proceeding. My bet is she'll never get reelected. In the meantime, Georgia Superior Court Judge Scott McAfee has thrown out 6 charges of the ridiculous 41-count indictment of Trump and co-defendants. Trump was named in 3 of the counts specifically, meaning he is now facing 88 charges in the Democrats' attempt to stop him. The verdict caused Wade to be thrown off the case, followed closely behind by Willis removing herself. Not sure at press time where this will ultimately go. Seeing that impeachments and hoaxes didn't work, nor does it appear throwing 91 indictments at Trump is going to stop the man, the Dems must believe they found another way at Trump. CNN reporter Jimmy Scudo must be beside himself in glee to get to carry the ball on a Dem's next play from scrimmage. Jimmy got to publish an absurd report that was carried by the New York Times, the Huffington Post, the Atlantic, the Washington Compost, and the Guardian, all liberal outlets. Jimmy trumpeted a big fat headline that read, "Former advisors sound the alarm that Trump praises despots in private and on the campaign trail." Before I go on, mothers should remove children and the elderly away from the speaker as they would not handle this report well. Little Jimmy claims Trump says Hungarian strongman Viktor Orban is fantastic. But that's not all. Bite your fingernails, gnash your teeth, and hold on to your hat. Trump thinks China's Xi Jinping is brilliant. You can't say that. But wait, Jimmy has more. Trump thinks North Korea's Kim Jong-un is an okay guy. Do you remember how the media criticized Trump when he called Jong Little Rocket Man? I do, Jimmy. Trump lavishes praise also on Vladimir Putin. God, my God. Oh, the humanity, Jimmy. Then, most alarmingly, Jimmy's words, not mine, Trump allegedly said Adolf Hitler did some good things. Jimmy is getting much of his information or misinformation from retired General John Kelly, who was Trump's chief of staff for about 17 months and now is out promoting his book. The Boston native was also commander of the United States Southern Command for 4 years under Obama, so you can easily figure out why Kelly is spouting his mouth off now. When will people stop making a big deal of what comes from a natural salesman's mouth when he is talking on the fly and start looking at his achievements instead? When Trump was in office, we were not at war with anyone. We were at peace. Perhaps stroking their egos is a way to prevent us from having to finance every damn war around the world or sacrificing our sons and daughters as soldiers. Well, Jimmy, you got your 15-minute scoop. Mama must be proud. Hey, the shiftless Adam Schiff decided he would take Dianne Feinstein's Senate seat after her passing. He kind of figured it was his seat. He waited patiently while Governor Newsom appointed a black gay person to take the seat until Feinstein's term was over. Then Adam casually tossed his hat in the ring for senator, figuring it is his to have. Turns out it's not going to be that easy for the shiftless one unless he cheats. He is facing considerable competition for the seat from a Republican, former Dodger first baseman Steve Garvey. Garvey believes California voters are fed up with liberal policies on crime, the border, and homelessness, which has flourished under California Democrats like Newsom, Feinstein, Pelosi, and one Adam Schiff. Garvey says Californians are mad, although I have to wonder what the hell took them so long. Right now, it is a statistical tie between Schiff and Garvey, who were the top vote getters in the recent California primary. Garvey was the only Republican that ran for the seat. With 91% of the vote in from March 5th, yes, that long ago, Garvey has a 259,000 vote lead. Interestingly, a map of the voters show all of Schiff's support is from voters on the coast, whereas the rest of California, a very large state, is with Garvey. I, for one, would love to see Adam Schiff unemployed. Hey, this podcast is brought to you by Hoffman Chiropractic Neurology, celebrating 30 years in practice. Dr. Hoffman specializes in general musculoskeletal conditions, neurology, sports injuries, acupuncture, electrodiagnostics, and comprehensive wellness management. Dr. Hoffman provides exceptional care for patients of all ages, from infants to elderly, from expectant moms to athletes. Dr. Hoffman's goal is to provide all patients with a tailored treatment plan based on an extensive history, a thorough exam, and x-rays. Contact Hoffman Chiropractic Neurology for more information or to schedule. That number is 815-937-0446. Did you see there's a battle going on between federal regulators, whatever the hell they are, and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce over credit card late fees? The regulators finalized a rule to cap most credit card late fees at $8. I liked that idea until I found out the Biden crime syndicate was involved in pushing for the elimination of junk fees. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau estimates the new regulations will save consumers $10 billion per year. Credit card debt stands right now at a record $1.1 trillion. It's gotten worse under Bidenomics, as more than 45 million people are charged late fees on credit cards each year. The new policy will save those folks an average of $220 per year. Supposedly, there has been a loophole in the rules that has allowed the credit card companies to exploit their customers for the last 10 years. While that may be true, it's also more governmental authority, which is never good. The financial industry naturally slammed the rule, stating that the new regulations will cause more people to pay late and ruin their credit scores. I was unable to ascertain why that was possible, but that was stated by a person probably a lot smarter than I am. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce weighed in, vowing to fight the new rules, warning they will file a lawsuit. They claim that the new rules punish those who pay their credit card fees on time by forcing them to pay for those who don't. Again, I didn't see the rule. I'm just reporting what was said. Since the article did not elaborate any exact language in the rules, and I was probably too lazy to go look at them for analyzing purposes, I was inclined to actually side with the Biden crime syndicate. That is, until I got to the end of the article. At the very end was a sentence that completely changed my mind, saying Senator Elizabeth Warren cheered the new regulations. If she's for it, you know it's got to be a socialistic plan, and I wouldn't agree with her if she said the sky was blue. The new rule isn't scheduled to take place until June 1st, 2024. Now, for some good news about me, I keep forgetting to tell listeners that my commentaries can also be found on Substack. If you are familiar and or have an account with them, you can always look me up there. Last weekend, the missus and I hosted a booth at the Tucson Book Festival at the University of Arizona. It was said 150,000 people were in attendance, so I'm anxiously waiting to see how I did. And now for one of my latest commentaries. You want to know how politically ridiculous the 91 indictments are on Trump? Charles Manson had 10 indictments. You heard that right. This was recently pointed out by Andrew Card on Fox News, commentating on the recent SCOTUS report telling Colorado to pound sand on trying to keep Trump off their ballot. Colorado embarrassingly lost their decision by a rare 9-0 vote at our highest court. Keep this in mind when you listen to my latest commentary. Webster tells us a scholar is a person who has done advanced study in a special field. It also calls a scholar a learned person. I'm going to show you how that is not always true. Consider Webster's words as you hear the politically biased rubbish that 154 so-called scholars unleashed for the liberal media to gobble and regurgitate last week. As gleefully reported by the mainstream media, scholars produced a presidential rating system that, of no surprise, ranks Donald Trump as the worst president in history. Those so-called scholars might have as well thrown a ham hock in the middle of a pack of coyotes to match the feeding frenzy by the media. We shouldn't be surprised of a last place ranking for Trump by a band of collegiate professors who never worked a day in their life. The report smacks of so much malarkey that it points out the rot exists in America academia. Sadly, most professors today have about as much credibility as an Anthony Fauci report. Pathetically, those 154 scholars rated Joe Biden the 14th best president of all time, and then Barack Obama 7th. Go ahead and chuckle now before continuing to listen. The rankings of Trump, Biden, and Obama fully illuminate the bias of the report. Is there little doubt now that those 154 quote-unquote scholars are going to vote on how they're going to vote in the next election? So according to Justin Vaughn and Brandon Rottenhouse, the political scientists behind the survey, Biden's most important achievement was that he rescued the presidency from Trump and is gearing up to keep it from him this fall. Consider the hubris in the way those two take surveys within their tiny circle of pseudo-intellectuals, then reporting on it as scientific fact, despite the 75-plus million people that would disagree. Of note, the poll was sent to 525 quote-unquote scholars and only 154 of them bothered to answer, just 29%. That'd probably be too much of a bother to an actual college professor. But this means 154 probable left-leaning academics held a popularity contest on presidents, ranking 6 out of 9, that's 67%, Democrats as the greatest 10 presidents, just 3 Republicans and 1 unaffiliated. That'd be Washington. This is even though America has elected a Republican president 62% of the time in history. The voters in the poll also managed to move up every contemporary Democrat president in their little popularity poll, which has now been taken 3 times. In addition to Obama and Biden, Clinton and even the beleaguered oaf, Jimmy Carter, were all elevated in their humble esteem. Conversely, every modern Republican president's ranking dropped. This includes Reagan and both Bushes. Trump couldn't drop. He was already at the bottom. You suppose there is some bias there? Contact me if you would like to see the word salad these scholars produced to justify their poll. Another questionable point made by the authors was a statement that respondents would vote for Franklin Roosevelt, our first socialist president, as the next man that should be added to Mount Rushmore. Note, Mount Rushmore is graced with 3 Republican presidents and 1 unaffiliated. The website The Guardian came up first on a Google search to research this commentary. It gleefully and unfairly reported, Trump is a uniquely divisive figure, his legislative record slim, his refusal to accept defeat by Biden leading to a deadly attack on Congress, and his post-presidential career dogged by 91 criminal charges arising from actions in office or on the campaign trail. Missing from that statement are admission of the mistruths that liberals take as fact. It is also overlooks any Trump accomplishments whatsoever. Of note, Trump has never been charged or convicted of having anything to do with the January 6th assault on Nancy Pelosi's little personal fiefdom, nor were any of the deaths a result of anything Trump did or said. None of Trump's accomplishments were taken into consideration by The Guardian, and evidently little by the people scribbling in the presidential popularity poll. Can one truly be a scholar if they can't leave personal political biases aside of the historical rankings of the presidents? Just how truly learned can biased people be? Perhaps Vaughn and Rodinghaus should be removed from this report in the future and renamed it as a Liberal Scholars Presidential Popularity Contest. By the way, I did send my commentary to the authors, and would you believe they never got back to me? Typical libs hiding in their mother's basements making bold statements. Have you ever thought about advertising on a podcast? At $35 per episode, my podcast is an inexpensive way to get your podcast out before the public. So far, I have generated over 7,000 downloads. Email me at anweber1957@gmail.com for details. Before I go, one final word. You want to own your own copy of my book, Roll Me Away, free of charge? Email me with your address, but there's a catch. You will have to type in the word Substack at the top of your email so that I know you listened to this podcast. Email me and you will win either a free Kindle download of the book or the actual book signed by me personally. Folks, that's all I got. If you like this podcast, please tell others. Check out my blog at www.weberswhippingpost.com. And thanks a million for listening.